Welcome back to this WHUR, WHUT TV special edition of the Daily Drum, to love and to cherish what makes a happy marriage. How do you really make those wedding vows last? I'm Harold Fisher. Joining me now is Bruce D. Edwards, Esquire, attorney and vice chair of the Prince George's County Commission on Fathers, Men, and Boys. Bruce, thanks for joining the conversation.
Well, thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Let's first talk about the work you're doing with boys and healthy relationships. How did that come about?
Just being a child welfare advocate, just being able to represent children throughout the state of Maryland in the foster care system, but most importantly, through a lot of the youth programs that I mentor youth with, we're looking at them on the backwards end in regards to reactionary basis, in regards to trauma having already occurred. But then we started strategizing to say, what's going to be more of a preventative measure, a proactive measure to put youth in the right place, particularly our young men. Having taught in the prison now for like 4 years, I see so much potential there. And many of the young men who sit in my prison class would tell you, hey, I really went awry, during my teen years. There were no outlets for me. There were no fundamental principles being taught to me. There were no men who actually breathed life into me, spoke life over my situation. So we approach every mentoring aspect with what we do, whether it's with the Prince George's County Commission on Fathers, Men, and Boys, with my fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi, and the Kappa League. We really have to build these young men up, help them in their maturation process to know who they are, embrace self-identity as well as self-discipline so that they can become husbands, fathers, and most importantly, good community patrons.
I appreciate you mentioning the greatest fraternity on the planet, by the way. And so obviously you are sharing with these boys and young men a variety of things. But as it relates to healthy relationships, what kind of conversations, what kind of work are you doing with them?
We really want them to tap into walking in the spirit of confidence. Also being able to identify if something is troubling them, it's okay not to be okay. Understanding that they have outlets. They also have folks who that they can talk to, that they can lean on. And most importantly, being able to disclose whether or not something has occurred and to event a repetitive action. And so many of them move from a sense of trying to handle their indiscretions, but also their insecurities. That's a continuum we often deal with. A lot of men don't know how to express their insecurities. They feel as though they need to be equipped with everything, that they should be empowered with having to know it all. And what you will have is that when those insecurities get exposed, it results in a measure of anger. Then they're dealing with the consequences of that anger. And I often tell them, you either try to hold yourself accountable and discipline yourself, or society has places that will do that for you. And so as a preventative measure, we get them to try to talk things out, try to understand their feelings, process their feelings, and most importantly, channel their emotions.
When it comes to dealing with those romantic and intimate relationships, what kind of conversations do you have? Do you talk to them about those relationships that they are having?
Yes, just over this weekend, as Valentine's Day is approaching, many have often teetered that conversation, both with myself and with some other mentors within my various programs. And really it centers around having to do with the possibility of rejection. How do I
really?
Yeah.
You know, that is a fascinating thing. Drill down a little bit more, because as we know, and we have seen this in the headlines, unfortunately, that oftentimes we have seen young men who have a visceral reaction to rejection simply because, you know, the young lady doesn't want to go out on a date with them. Talk to me a little bit about that. I think that's really important.
It is, because one thing I try to deal with the young men on is really the spirit of being honest. Being honest with where you're at in your situation. Being honest about the overall situation when you encounter a young lady. When I start asking exploratory questions, well, how well do you know her? Are you friends with her? Trying to narrow down the scope of everything. You know, how did you get to know her? What are her interests? Does she want to go to college? What does her folks do? You know, how often do you speak with her? Are you in any classes with her? Many can't answer those questions. They're often infatuated with just by her appearance.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's part of it, but, you know, you also have to be able to have a conversation. You learn a lot through people, just being able to converse with them. Then we try to narrow that down. Then they understand, hey, I have some more homework to do. And then they understand, you know, how do I really ready myself for the overall approach? I said, when you become friends with them, you can kind of really narrow the scope in regards to being able to estimate where this situation can actually evolve into. And then you would realize once you know more about them, your level of confidence kind of increases in regards to your ability to approach them. And then when you realize that, hey, even if it doesn't go in my way, it may in fact still work out for my good, even if I don't reach the ultimate result that I wanted. We can still be friends because we first took the time out to become friends.
That is so important because, and by the way, JJ and Trina Hairston are still in studio with us. And I want to pick up on that point because during our earlier conversation, Trina specifically spoke about the friendship in your marriage.
Right.
What are you hearing when Bruce is discussing, even in the youngest of potential couples, because they're not couples, we're talking about potentially developing those relationships. How important is it to be friends, to just like them, not because you're pretty, but because you like the person?
I think it's crucial. That friendship relationship to me is the foundation for what will become a more mature or even romantic or even lead into a marriage. I feel like you get to know the person. I would like couples or even just younger people to slow down and just get to understand almost like the psychology of each other. Like you have to get to know, understand on a whole nother level a person's mind, how they think, what their likes are, what their dislikes are, what are their triggers, get to know their history. And then from there, I feel like you can build on something. But I think we put so much pressure into the chemistry, you know, whether or not we feel like this person is going to be, you know, it's going to be good to have this person with us, even for social media views, because I've seen a lot of people get in a relationship because it looks good on social media, or if they feel like they'll have the chemistry in bed. That's to me, that's the way young people are entering into a relationship now, and they're missing out on their friend. They're missing out on what kind of person this is. Who did that person's mother raise? That's who I want to get to know.
Yeah.
I want to know who you were when you were 12, 13, 14, because then that's going to show me a pattern of who you're going to be in your later life.
Internet eye candy.
Yeah.
Right.
Having somebody on your arm,
right,
even if it's
or what their physical appearance looks like, all of that.
That you can match clothes with. And, I'll say this, on top of that, to add to what we said earlier about what's keeping us fresh now, none of it is external. You know, the things that we're learning about each other internally is what's making us more attracted to each other. So I think if we would start to focus more on the internal things and, you know, just what do I love about her besides what I see, like what you alluded to, I think our relationships will last longer. But right now, it seems as if everything is just on views and how everything looks.
But that's... At 28 years of marriage, that's easy to say now, but you two were in the same position that Bruce is talking about with the mentoring of, these are teenagers, are they not?
Correct.
Yeah.
You two met as teenagers. You say slow down, he was like, let's hurry up.
right.
to their point, Bruce, how can you get them to slow down and have the mindset of 40-somethings, you know, have the mindset of 40-somethings when they are still teenagers? How do you give them that maturity injection as it relates to relationships?
The number one thing we really try to institute and reiterate is the power of their purpose, knowing their purpose.
Explain that.
What I often share with young people, I often teach through a lot of affirmations. And I try to tell folks, I say, if it's not consistent with your purpose, it's a distraction.
Wow.
And so that's one thing that they have to really, you have to be reminded of who you are. Don't look for other folks to validate you or to compliment you. You need to know who you are, what you bring to the table, and move forward with a spirit of confidence, and most importantly, a spirit of power and recognition in terms of where you want God to take you. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're reminded about that, basically life is just a puzzle. How are all of these pieces, all of these occurrences, all of these decisions fitting within the puzzle of my purpose? Then you will slow down. Then you will have patience. Then you can refocus in regards to what really matters. You don't want to be on the back end and realizing that you should never be at the mercy of what matters. You should never allow what matters the most to be at the mercy of what matters the least. And this is what a lot of men do on the back end, and they make choices that have dire consequences. And as I mentioned earlier, I meet a lot of good brothers who have a great deal of potential that's incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And they will tell you, this is what I lost in regards to my lack of foundation during my teen years. Mm-hmm. And so we deal with all of that, but it's really reminding them of who they are, why they exist, and what their purpose is actually here for. Mm.
This is a WHUR, WHUT-TV special edition of The Daily Drum, to love and to cherish what makes a marriage work. And how do you make sure that those vows are... that you stick to those vows till death do you part, even when there's drama involved. You know, Bruce, you've spoken about a lot about what you share with them, but what are they telling you? Mm-hmm. What are the things that they understand that are right and or wrong about those intimate romantic relationships?
That's excellent. Really, we learn so much from these young men just by listening. They're having a platform to bounce ideas off of us. And you would often see that things are moving much faster now. Their questions, their thoughts, their sense of entitlement, this level of just being entitled but not really having a sense of gratitude in regards to the things that they often take for granted. So really what we're seeing is that their ability to have to refocus, and really it's a thirst for the wrong type of attention. Mm. And really we see that with a lot of young men getting involved with relationships, not figuring out who they are, but thinking that it's going to validate them. And I see a lot of young men partner with young women just for the attention from other guys who they really want to be elevated in front of.
So they'll say they want to date her, mm-hmm. not necessarily because they like her, but because of the attention that they can get from others.
Mm-hmm. It would enlarge, correct. It would enlarge their overall social circle, you know, give them more insight to be accepted by other guys who they want to be accepted by, you know. And so, again, the dangers of this false sense of validation, the dangers of the trappings of wanting to be affirmed by the wrong circle. And then what it does is actually makes your process longer. It prolongs your adolescence. And so those are some of the things that we often try to institute to redirect these young men towards a high calling of their overall self-purpose.
You know, Trina and JJ, you do relationship counseling. And I'm sure you have some kind of relationship ministry at the church.
Sure.
Talk to me, JJ, if you can, about that in relation to what you're hearing Bruce explain. What are you doing there?
Well, I'll say this. Before we even had to do it at the church, yeah. I have a son. And my son...
How old is he now?
He's 26 now.
Okay.
He's been married for 2 years. Mm-hmm. He started dating his girlfriend, now wife, when they were like 16 years old.
So sounds familiar.
Exactly.
See, history repeats itself.
So what I've learned is a lot of the things that I wish I had a father around to teach me, I've been able to give to him. But then after that, now I've started to think about some of the things I've taught him, and we are giving that to some of the couples we talk to at the church. Mm-hmm. So it's so important that we have people like Bruce who can talk to the men about relationships, because that's what was missing for me.
Yeah.
All I had was the circle around me. I didn't have anyone to really give me an impartation of wisdom. So what we've tried to do is share our experiences, not just the good, but the bad, with some of the younger couples and even those who are now together and experiencing issues, because most of the time a lot of people need to hear that you can come out of this. This can get better. And we didn't necessarily have that when we were going through, but now that we're on the other side of it, we try to give that wisdom to some of the couples that we're mentoring at the church.
Mm-hmm. But I think we see some of what he's experienced too. Like most of the people who we talk to and have to coach or maybe even counsel through some of these things are issues stemming from their childhood.
Yeah.
Things that they've never dealt with, like rejection and like, you know, unfortunately we have like a lot of issues of molestation and people taking advantage of people, and because they, you know, didn't have counseling and everything readily available at a younger age, it is now showing up in an older age where they're not as trusting as they once were before or something like that, because someone has broken trust in their life. So I think what he's doing is so critical for our future, and maybe we'll see a break if we can start to heal the wounds of our young people now.
Yeah.
By the time they get to the age where they're ready to start a relationship, those doors would have been closed. Mm-hmm. But people are going in with fresh wounds, and they're getting into a marriage with, or even to a relationship with, fresh wounds that they're not healed from, and it's causing a problem in them moving on with their lives.
And certainly those are some of the more severe examples, the wounds. Mm-hmm. But as it relates to attitudes toward relationships, Bruce has been talking with boys and young men. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you deal with young women a lot.
Sure.
What is it outside of the wounds and the trauma? Mm-hmm. But I'm just talking about their expectations about relationships. What is it that you're hearing from them that gives you pause or makes you say, let's stop here, do this, not that?
I can't really say, because the most of the people that I deal with, I think they're healthy expectations, but I don't know if it's coming from a place where they're expecting it from someone because they didn't get it from a dad. Mm. All of what I'm finding is that it started off early. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that in women as well. So now they want their partner to overcompensate for what they did not get as a younger child. So I still think we're seeing that. But I think we have women out there who are looking to be treated like a princess, and that could be a false reality.
I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that JJ would probably agree that no glass slipper today, baby. I'm just going to give you some fluffy slippers,
exactly.
Right?
But then my question is to them, what are you bringing to the table? Uh-huh. You cannot expect this person to take on full responsibility and you not bring anything to the table. So no, you can't sit back and just have someone, right now in your life, maybe you can't sit back and just have someone paying all the bills for you, and you know, you can't stay at home and just want a social media job. You may actually have to go to a 9-to-5 and work. So I want to know, my question is to them, what are you bringing to the table? So don't just focus on what that person is doing. What are you doing? Let's lay out what you're bringing to the table as well.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, is it difficult to teach about healthy relationships when pop culture has so few examples?
I think it is challenging, but I think that's what most of the men within the circle of mentoring, we understand that that's what we've been called to do. You have to, and most importantly, you really want to effectuate the change that you want to see. You got to make sure you're living it. I tell men, you know, your words have to line up with your works. And most people are moved by your actions. So it's important that they see us exuding this level of character and integrity on how we move. Ironically, I was out with my youngest daughter just this past weekend. And it's one thing, the type of attention you get when it's just you and your children, as opposed to if my wife was there, it's perceived differently. But the way...
How so?
Just like she noticed when we go out to eat, like the daddy and daughter me day, and the way we're perceived at a restaurant, you may have black women serving us, and just the attention. Some folks have even come over and remarked, hey, it's good to see a black man out. being a father, that's a husband, I mean, that you're doing it. Thank you for being that example. Mm-hmm. And so it speaks to a level of, on one hand, you giving her something, giving my daughter something to aspire to, but on the other hand, you understand that the remarks are often rooted in, I'm the exception and not the standard. Mm. And so, you know, we have to get back to where this should be expected. This should be a given, mm-hmm. for us to be present, for us to be involved, for us to be available. And that's just men being men. And one thing about it, when we get in front of these young men and they can understand, hey, I can rely on Mr. Edwards, there's some level of trust there, they also move in confidence to know, instead of me doing this, I can do that just by the way he lived his life as a man of a character and integrity, by me being able to walk it through.
How old is your daughter?
My youngest is 11, my oldest is 18, and she's a student here at Howard, freshman. Okay.
Excellent, awesome. Excellent. Because and I really appreciate that, because when my daughter was whether she was a little girl or even, you know, kind of her mid-teens, yeah, doing all of that, mm-hmm. You know, the funny thing is that, you know, now she's, you know, 24, you know, we go out to dinner and, you know, I get the side eye, you know, the older guys with these younger women, that's my daughter.
Yeah,
Sarah.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Right.
You know, and she's still my favorite person, uh-huh. you know, but I think that that's really important, that in developing the relationships, and I think, you know, Trina kind of talked, mm-hmm. Touched on that, and so did JJ, as a father, developing that cohesive father-daughter relationship, it sets the foundation mm-hmm. for the solid relationships,
yeah.
for example, mm-hmm. because as you said, because you didn't have the father who could tell you do this, not that,
right.
that it was, you know, you had to, it was trial by fire.
Yes, right.
You know, it was definitely, you know, trial by fire. To the question that I was just asking Bruce, in your ministry related to relationships, is it difficult to come up against pop culture images of relationships, the money, the infidelity, the immaturity, the arguing.
Yes, mm. yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Talk to me about how you have to deal with those kinds of images.
Well, similar to what Bruce said, one thought I've always adapted to is that people hear what you say, but do what they see.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've had to do is battle or give them something else to compare to. Let me say it like that. Mm-hmm. So instead of having them look at pop culture, look at the strong marriages that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what we've been doing with couples, initially we were just mentoring couples, one couple on one. But now we have a group of married couples that come together on a monthly basis and just kind of talk through, like with curriculum, but talk through some of the stuff that marriages face. Because in that room, we have the couple that's been married 42 years. And then we also have the couple that's only been married 8 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're able to learn from other couples that you're not isolated in what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
But then outside of that, you have these couples who have, you know, have strong marriages, but have had issues. So if you can see that, oh, I'm not alone, I can go through this and we can still make this work, then you don't look to the pop culture and say, if you argue, that means divorce is next.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you see. You know, you see this couple, you know, somebody you really look to as a great couple, all of a sudden you see an Instagram post and say, they're getting divorced.
Right.
So that becomes the norm. So what we're trying to do with this ministry is present a different norm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we have to show them, too, what those statistics are. Because what I'm finding is, and maybe this is just, I don't know if it's just a DMV thing, because remember, we're from Connecticut.
Right.
So I think it's a different demographic here is what I'm finding is they want hardcore facts. Open up the book and show me. Give me statistics. Show me what's lasting. Show me what's not working. So I think for us, what has been helpful is to show them what's not working. History always has a way of repeating itself. And so we've seen these marriages in Hollywood and all this, we've seen how this goes, the lights, camera, all that, but then what's happening behind closed doors. And so we're trying to teach them, don't get wrapped up in what you see, but like he's saying, offer them a different perspective and let them know you got to be different. You can't go with the trend. You can't always go with what you're seeing on TV. You have to be different. And we're teaching them how to establish their own culture, establish their own environment, and not to be so easily influenced. But it is difficult. It is, because it's everywhere. Influence is everywhere, so it is difficult.
Mm-hmm. We did not talk about your marriage, Bruce. I'm going to get into your business just a bit. You've been married for how long?
18 years.
18 years. What have you learned?
You learn a lot about yourself. You learn the spirit of patience. You understand that your greatest gift and your greatest asset is time. With time, you know, you make memories. And with that, you take every moment you have. You know, you just really just admire that moment, and you just really continue to nourish that moment. Ironically, well, my wife is also an attorney. Okay. And so when we started out, it was a lot of speculation as to how this union would work. At the time, it was kind of atypical. Hey, well, you know, you like an alpha male, and you know, you all are going to be debating, arguing all the time. And it was actually none of that, because we understood, most importantly, who we were. We understood our own level of personal conviction, and most importantly, we understood our individuality in regards to our purpose as to why we were here. We took the time out to get to know one another. We understood that, you know, I mean, we were not trying to define ourselves through each other, and most importantly, we was on the same wavelength. We was, as they would say, equally yoked in terms of how we entered marriage. Mm-hmm. And that was sustaining and fulfilling for us.
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, very, very familiar. Very much so.
What have you learned, JJ?
I've learned that I have the ability to grow instead of decline.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that when I was younger, I thought I would hit this age and then that's it. And now we're here in our 40s and it's like, oh, I have much more to go, and I could grow and I could become. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited that I'm partnered with somebody who is also becoming.
Mm. Trina, I'll let you have the final word. What have you learned?
Patience. I don't want what happens fast. I want what takes time to mature, and I'm changing that in my older age. I'm changing that, mm-hmm. that it's worth the wait.
How about that? Yeah. The definition of what makes a successful marriage expanded exponentially over the past 30 years or so. That's about how long ago JJ and Trina first started dating. Well, the pressure to stay together is greater than it has ever been. The options that exist for couples to split are plentiful. So why bother? Well, the one thing that is consistent for marriage is love in its many evolving forms. Is love enough? We would hope so. So if you're married and in love, keep working on it. It's worth it. That is The Daily Drum. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.